You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and a good... The Tuesday. It is DCR with you. June the 22nd, 2021. So much to get into this morning. Mets having an opportunity to sweep a doubleheader against a team that concerns most Mets fans most, and they can't get that done via base running and just terrific defense from the Braves last night. NBA is off last night. The NHL, in fact, played a game for a few minutes last night. It got out of hand, and I think we all know why it got out of hand, because Rick DiPietro is a bad guy. And Rick DiPietro messed with the hockey gods. And in return, his team got blasted by the final score of 8-0. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I love how you're trying to blame me.
Well, it's your fault.
Because you're really the bad guy. I did the same thing in game four, and it worked. So why not do it in game five? Like, I wasn't out there playing. I wasn't the one that decided, you know, to turn pucks over and have, you know, of all people, Steven Stamkos, who's been, I mean, has done nothing the entire series.
A minute into the game.
Yeah, 45 seconds in. When you know going in that the team that scored the first goal has won every game of the series, that you go into Tampa in a pivotal game five and you play maybe one of the worst games I've seen this Islanders team play in a long time.
That was brutal.
Long time.
We're talking about it before the show. I mean, you don't see drubbings like that. That was from, I mean, that game was over a minute in. It was non-competitive in the biggest game of the season. Now, listen, that's a resilient bunch, and I would never count them out. But, my God, that's as bad an effort in a big game as I've seen in a long time. That was brutal last night from the Islanders. And, yes, I do blame you. I think it's sports karma. I think it's your fault. And I'm thrilled that you did it. And you know what? Do it again. Do have one of your little fancy, you know, Photoshop pictures. Put it up there again. Because if you do, I won't have to deal with anything on Friday. This thing will be over on Wednesday at the Collie.
Yeah, Dave, there's no question in my mind. Watching the Islanders get blasted last night, it's Rick DiPietro's fault.
Oh,
like, he tempted the sports gods, and they didn't look at him favorably, and they made his team pay for it last night. I mean, that game wasn't even competitive, Dave. And now on top of that, there's a suspension possible for Barzal for what he did last night. So, I mean, it's not looking too good for the home team. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, but I told you this yesterday. Like, I'm not overly concerned. Like, I'm actually happy that they got blown out the way they got blown out.
Oh, stop it.
No, I am. Like, I told you yesterday without saying it, because I never wanted to, you know, say that I think my team is going to lose a game. But I told you yesterday, in the last 2 years, and this is, I mean, since this team was embarrassed by Columbus, they have not lost back-to-back postseason games in 2 years. They don't do it. And Vasilevsky in those games is lights out. Like, lights out. And they were going to have their hands full. Like, they were going to have to play a virtually perfect game to win yesterday. And they couldn't have played a worse game.
They played the imperfect game.
Which, again, Chris, you know this in football, too. And I when I make my picks, my NFL picks, which I usually win, for the show.
There you go again, Dave. You see what he's doing.
I know what he does.
You know what I'll do, though? Chris, you do the same stuff.
Keeps doing it.
Like, because you know you've played in the NFL, is that a lot of times the team that gets blown out the previous week,
Oh, they're going to be held next week. They'll be
exactly
held
right.
next week, yeah.
So they got embarrassed. Like, I mean, emotionally, like, you can throw that game away. Like, we'll just pretend like that game didn't happen. Like, this isn't one of those, you know, heartbreaking losses.
You don't even go back and watch the tape of that game. There's no takeaways. There's nothing to be learned, nothing to be gained from that. You move on to the next one.
No, I mean, we got embarrassed. That's what it comes down to. We just got embarrassed, and now we're in a game six, and let's not make this the last game ever played at the Nassau Coliseum.
Would you rather lose that game last night, 8-0, and over a minute in, or 3-2 in double overtime?
I think personally, you know, just as a fan, I would rather lose the game 3-2 in overtime just because I felt like I had a chance to win it the entire time. But I think as a player, it would be harder to bounce back from that kind of game going into game six.
So you fully expect this to be a game seven situation now?
He's not going to say that.
I'm just asking the question.
No, I can't now. I mean, the ironic thing is I spent all yesterday talking about sports karma and how, you know, the Brooklyn Nets, bad karma, it ends up biting them in the ass. And then Dum Dum over here decides, oh, yeah, let's play a game with Dave and change his avatar. Idiot.
So good.
And you can't play along. You can't be like, aha, funny, Rick, we'll go back and forth. You have to put the juju where it's like, oh, I hope the Islanders get shut out and they lose 6-0.
Yeah, I understood that. I didn't realize I could say 8-0.
I don't think anyone did. But here's the thing that concerns me about this, right, is not so much the 8-0 because, again, like I said, you flush this one and you move forward. Like, you got to – if you're not motivated after getting your teeth kicked in, like, that was a woodshed moment, like, then you got something wrong with you. So they'll come out and the Coliseum's going to be rocking. Canty mentioned it. Barzell's availability is very important. Very, very, very important. I don't think he'll get suspended, but I even thought that I don't think the intent was to cross-check him in the face. I just think his stick rode up in that moment and hit him in the face. So I don't think he'll get suspended, but God forbid he did.
Was that frustration, Rico? Oh,
of course.
Yeah.
Of course it was. I mean, everyone was frustrated. They didn't play. I mean, they were turning pucks over. The defensemen were bad.
That was their worst game of the season.
It was, dude, it might have been a worst game in a couple seasons.
Yeah. No, but I mean, they played, what, 56 regular season games, and they played, I don't know, 18, 20, something like that, postseason games. That was the worst. It wasn't even close. It was unwatchable.
No, but it was the worst case scenario. But that was the – you could not have drawn it up any worse for them. Like, to be down all of a sudden, because you know how different this team is when they have the lead, to be down less than a minute in and have Steven Stamkos, who's been – I mean, he's been a non-factor the entire series. He scores the goal. Like, his line had done nothing. His whole line, it's Stamkos, Killorn, and Cirelli. They actually, in game four, took Cirelli off the line and put Gord on the line because it was doing nothing. And all of a sudden, that line, two assists, game one through four. They got four goals and three assists yesterday. So now you got them going, which concerns me. And then the power play, which has been, I mean, the reason why Tampa has been as dominant as they've been in the playoffs, because their power play has been lights out, hasn't been a real factor in the series through the first four games. Oh, so let's give them six and have them go 3-for-6 on the power play. Because that's a good idea. And then we have our surge in the second period where it's like, I mean, if he had buried one of those chances, I mean, Bailey had a couple dead post. It went post to post, and then Nelson had a chance. He didn't get – like, you had a chance. You score there, it's a different game. And then rather than ride that momentum for a little bit longer, we take an offensive zone penalty because that's what you want to do in that situation. And, of course, they score, and it's night-night. Thanks for coming. And you know what? I'll tell you the other thing. I'm even more pissed off at that guy at the watch party that took his Islanders jersey off and threw it on the ground. He should be banned. He should not be allowed back in the Coliseum again, at least for the duration of this postseason. That's an embarrassment.
You feel a way about everything.
Well, you do that. I'm telling you right now. You do that in the locker room. A player does that in the locker room, takes his jersey off and throws it on the ground. Someone's going to fight him in the locker room. You don't do that to your jersey. I know you're frustrated. You can't do that.
The guy's frustrated.
I don't care if he's frustrated or not. You don't take the crest of your jersey and throw it on the dirty ground. It's disrespectful. That's the most disrespectful.
Your team lost 8-0. That was disrespectful. The way they played last night was disrespectful.
They didn't mean to go out there and lose 8-0. I told you Tampa's a good team. This is a step up in class. Pittsburgh's good. Boston is good. Tampa's the defending Stanley Cup champ. When we start talking fandom, like, oh, there's some really, you know, big-time Jets fans. No. And then there's Ira. There's some really crazy Giants fans. And then there's Dave Rothenberg.
I think you're going to frown on this. I have ripped Giants jerseys off my chest during games in the past many times. Like, ripped, like straight down the middle, like Hulk Hogan ripped them off.
Is that in the private Hogan style, Dave?
No, there's no chance. It had to be cut.
Yeah, it is. No. Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about it.
Some of these.
Rip your T-shirt off right now. Take your shirt. I want to see you try to rip your t-shirt.
There's no chance you ripped an authentic jersey.
I'm telling you.
He's too cheap.
He ain't buying authentics, Chris. You know this.
Is that knockoff?
Yeah, it's Canal Street. It's that Canal Street replica.
I'm sure some of them were replicas, but that's not the point. The point is, yes, I have ripped them off. So now I'm not a fan. When you go out there and you soil yourselves, you know what? If a fanatic wants to rip off the jersey, then so be it.
That's a little bit different, though, isn't it?
Privacy of your own home. Yeah, what you want to do to be caught on? I mean, I've watched the video 15 different times in an arena filled with your fellow fans to take your jersey off and just throw it on the ground.
Yeah.
and then storm off.
No. I would agree.
That's not riding with you. That's just being disrespectful.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'll leave that up to you. I don't think it's up to me.
I mean, ask anyone on the Islanders right now how they would feel about that.
All right. I don't like these watch parties. I did that for game 6 of the Rangers Stanley Cup run in 1994. I went to the Garden to celebrate when they were going to hopefully win the Cup, and it was awful. I hated it. I couldn't see well. I didn't want these other people yelling in my face. I didn't enjoy it at all. I will never do that.
Didn't want to be with your people, Dave, is what you're saying.
Because he's not one of the people, though, Chris. This dude is a different level when these games are on. Like, you can't be around him. I saw him in action in the studio. It's too much.
People it's disturbing?
He's taking his tie. And I get it now. Going back in that moment, he's screaming crazy. It's the start of the game. He's taking his tie off because he's oh, God forbid you have the tie, and unbuttons his shirt. He can't control himself. He's like the Hulk. Clothes just start peeling off of him. You can't be around that. I understand it, too, because that's why I said I didn't want to go to any of these games.
So you get walk around.
Unless the Kaster wanted to go, then it'd be
then
different.
I would have taken the Kaster.
Then all the rules go out the window, yeah. Chris. Whatever Mike.
I asked you first. No, don't start. I asked you first. I offered you the opportunity first.
In fairness to you, you did ask me first.
Thank you.
You absolutely did. So let me clarify that, in fact, you did. So I think the big question. Now, by the way, we have, and the three of us go at it all the time, we have a serious, serious show issue we're going to have to uncover later on in the show. A serious show issue.
Is this another RJ situation?
It just might be.
Yeah, I mean, he's been... Something happened in that room. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what happened in that room. They said they're watching with, quotations, soccer match.
You should know better than that. That was not what was going on down in Carolinas a couple of weeks ago.
No. But why tell us that? Why lie? Why give us this?
Because he's trying to throw you off the scent, Dave. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want you to know about it. Nobody can talk about it.
It's just a weekend
that nobody will ever mention again in life. It's one of those.
Well, I don't know why you'd say there was soccer, but yeah, something going on, which is, I mean, to say concerning, to say you don't know a guy, I think we're going to go there in a big way a little bit later on in the show. Big money to give away, $250 in the 6 o'clock hour, $250 in the 7 o'clock hour, and the K-Show is going to duplicate that. They're going to do it in the 2 and the 5 o'clock hours today. A lot going on. The Mets just, oh, God, last night. So frustrating because the Braves are the one team, Rick, that I look at. I'm like, that's the team that still worries me. I don't care if Philly's closer. I don't care what Washington's doing. I don't care what Miami is doing. Atlanta's the team that really still concerns me the most. And you had a golden opportunity, if you're the Mets, to sweep them last night. The base running in the 6th was unbelievable. And then, I guess, just bad fortune in the 7th inning. But you had your chances to win that game last night.
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily. I mean, I guess the Pilar at bat.
Yeah.
But I mean, Riley, both of those games at third base was awesome. I mean, Alonso almost got doubled off at third, which would have been another base running. I mean, that's.
Yeah, but he was still bad going from first to third on that Dom Smith hit.
That's the one guy.
You don't try him.
Acuna. Yeah. No. I mean, he's trying to be aggressive. He's running on the play, which they don't normally do. But I mean, base running in general. I mean, then Peraza comes in.
Oh, my God. Two pitches in a row. There's what should have been a wild pitch, which gets well enough away from the catcher. Lindor is screaming at him to go to third. He doesn't. And then on a ground ball right to shortstop, then he decides to cross over and go to third. That was terrible base running. And then Lindor gets picked off on the next pitch.
Exactly right. And tell me, when you're watching that second game, the way that first inning was going, that you're like, oh, my God. With Eichhoff on the mound, like, there's no chance. We don't have a chance.
But you know, good for him.
I give credit.
Yeah.
He got himself out of it, but this is the problem with the Mets recently, and they've been able to, and I don't know if I can trust RJ's rundown or not, I have to research these numbers, but I mean, their offense has not been good. I mean, this has been a team that's been able to win games, being one of, I mean, as far as runs are concerned, one of the worst in Major League Baseball, I think they're the second worst in Major League Baseball, but because they're starting pitching, and especially Jacob deGrom, who's, I mean, it's not even, he's playing in a different game right now, they've been able to win games. And that's been the difference for them, because offensively they haven't been good. They have not.
Yeah, but it's not like they don't have the guys in the lineup that you would expect can produce offensively, and I think that's what everybody's waiting on, no? Like, eventually some of these guys that are in your lineup, they're going to start hitting. And then where is this team going to be if they're able to sustain this level of starting pitching? But because you got the concerns with Jacob DeGrom, and now Joey Lucchese's got the UCL tear, and he's going to get a second opinion, and then Jarice Familia going on, you know, having to deal with something as well. Like, it's just all of these different things. You're wondering whether or not your pitching staff is going to be able to hold up and give your offense time to be able to figure things out, and at the same time being able to maintain your standing in the NL East.
And you have doubleheader after doubleheader, right? You had one last night. You have one coming up on Friday. You had one the other day against Washington. So it's a lot, but I give him credit. I mean, and DeGrom is just it's wild to watch him pitch. It's like nothing I've ever seen before.
Yeah, Dave, but yesterday I was holding my breath.
Well, I think you will every time now.
I was, man, because I was just watching him pitch, and it was just like he was shaking his arm all the time and didn't look like he was quite comfortable. I mean, even though he made that crazy play off the mound, I think it was Heredia that was at bat, that hit that 103 miles an hour off the bat and he just snags it. Like, even though he makes those types of plays, and even though it seems like he's just overwhelming batters with his fastball, it still doesn't look quite like he's comfortable. I mean, you saw that at bat that he had with the pitcher, and it's just kind of one of those things. He's throwing slider after slider. He can't locate it. He ends up walking that dude, and you're just wondering, like, is this where the wheels come off for Jacob DeGrom? And then hearing what he said post-game and, you know, saying that was enough after five innings when you're talking about a seven-inning game, and clearly from a stuff standpoint, you know, you felt good about what you saw. I don't know, man. It just seems like there's something still not quite right about it. And I just feel like the Mets might be playing this the wrong way in terms of making sure that they keep their ace on the mound for the entirety of the season.
Yeah, the whole thing is perplexing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The second we go to break, RJ, what did I do? What have I done? Have I crossed the line? Is the rundown wrong? Is it something in my personal life? What have I done? He's very upset and very concerned. And you know, no, I don't need the music. No. And you know what? Let him chew on that for a while, Rick and Chris. Because when you do something like this to supposed friends, someone that's going to officiate your wedding, I think you deserve to have to not know what you've done and push your nose in that poo, so to speak, here.
Yeah, there are going to be some things that RJ is going to have to sit down and talk about, since I'm the one officiating the wedding. Like, if there's, you know, some things he has to tell me that I'll need to know going into this. Like, he'll have to atone for some things, I'm sure.
I mean, Yom Kippur is in September, and, you know, maybe RJ, who doesn't celebrate Judaism really at all, might want to get involved this year.
Yeah, but he'll already have had the wedding, though. I need this to happen before.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Ange deserves that. I'm just saying, I think Ange deserves that.
I think everyone deserves it. I think the listening audience deserves it. I think Chris Canty deserves it. I think Ritchie Pietro deserves it. I think we all deserve the best version of RJ, and I don't think we're getting it now, to be honest.
Since this bachelor party, I don't know what happened.
I know.
I don't want to assume, because that's not the right thing to do. Just, I mean, a bunch of guys sitting in a circle watching some soccer on a bachelor party doesn't sound like...
That's not what happened.
I like the true story to me.
Let the record reflect, though, it's only two of the three that feel that way, RJ. I don't feel that way at all.
See,
I
go.
Feel like you're at your best. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't know that you even know what he's done yet.
Well, I might not, Dave, but I'm just going off of my gut instincts the last couple of weeks since he's gotten back. I have no complaints when it comes to RJ's performance at all.
He even missed statistics, even feeding me misinformation about Chris Middleton.
Everybody makes a mistake every now and again, Dave.
Okay.
You don't bat 1,000, so no, I'm going to give RJ a pass on that one. I'm going to give him a little bit of grace.
Now, by the way, too, just quickly, speaking of making mistakes and not being a good guy, how about you? So you spent the first 15 minutes of the show telling me that I was the reason why the Islanders won.
Clearly you're the reason.
Okay, so then you fire back with, and you didn't
and
even
the
do the work yourself.
Islanders lost, by the way. They didn't win.
They didn't even just lose. They got destroyed. But it's like match playing golf, right? You lose a hole, you move on. Right, it's not, you don't have to worry about it. Focus on game six. So then you fire back with work you didn't even do. Someone sent you that pitcher.
Oh yeah,
which was embarrassing. It wasn't even a great. I mean, that was, I clearly win. No, pitcher for pitcher, I win. And then on top of it, to mock me again, then you post the worst pitcher I've ever taken in my entire life.
Oh,
and it
gets
So I'm looking through Twitter this morning, and it gets liked by Linda Cohn.
Yeah.
Elko.
That's right. That's right.
Everyone's jumping on.
She's, you know why? Because she's a huge Rangers fan. And she's probably watching the Islanders get hammered last night, feet up on the couch, thrilled. And then she sees this photo of a gaunt, sickly-looking Rick DiPietro. I might start a GoFundMe with that photo. Mm. That thing is horrendous. I would, if I were you, I would get that scrubbed off the internet entirely.
Yeah, at that point, you thought the way I looked, I might as well start turning water into wine and stuff to feed myself.
That was really incredible. But I think this? It all stems back to you. Yes, it's all you.
Okay, but you can say what you want. Like I know Elko's a Rangers fan and everything else, but she's a part of the union. I mean, she's a fellow goalie. Like she actually talked me into wearing full goalie equipment on SportsCenter. I did that for her, and this is what I get.
Well, you can't blame me for that. Listen, I've told you, until that profile picture comes down, I'm taking huge shots at you. And it's already happened. I took the Photoshop picture. You don't like it. Some loved it. Some hated it. I understand. That's fine. Islanders lose 8-0. Then I put the photo out of you, gaunt Rick DiPietro. And it's not going to stop there. And it's probably going to lead to another Islanders loss. So if I were you, at some point soon, I would get that photo off of Twitter.
I don't think you can get that photo off of which photo? Your photo or my photo?
Yours.
I can't.
Your profile. I would get that away from what you have working there.
Otherwise, used that on KJZ when I went on.
Not that. The one you have now. Of you? Me.
Well, yeah, that's what I asked you. Yeah, but
that's what I said.
But I think you look great in that picture, though.
Leave it up. I swear to God, if the Islanders was like 5-0 at the Coliseum on Wednesday night, you are only yourself to blame for this. Why would you tempt fate? Why wouldn't you say, maybe there is something going on here with the hockey gods? Let me eliminate that photo from my profile. Let me move on.
Because I don't believe that.
All right, good.
I don't, because I did it for game 4 and we won.
Okay.
Maybe I just went too far with the pictures, what you're saying, right? Like it was too disrespectful. Just,
it's too much. You crossed the line.
What was it? Was it the fact that, was it the banana hammock or was it the thermometer?
I think it was all of it. I think it was a combination of all of it, and I think that it blew up in your face, and an 8-0 loss is the result of what you've done.
You might have to sacrifice a live chicken, man. You got to get the sports gods back on your side, man.
I'll go.
It got ugly last night.
Chris, I'm not afraid to go right to Popeyes after the show. I'll bury a whole bucket of chicken.
Extra spicy, too. Oh. Yeah.
And like Willie Colon says, you got to get the pickle.
A little Frank's Red Hot. There you go.
You got to get the pickle.
Oh, my goodness. 800-919-3776. Let's say good morning to Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, family. Unc, Dave might be right. I don't know. You might have took it too far, like I said yesterday. That's what I told Cousin RJ. I was tweeting that last night. I don't know that. That loss was horrible. And I tweeted out last night because I remember 99% of the stuff you guys say. Dave did ask for like a 6-0 win. We got an 8-0 loss. I mean, I don't know what to say, Uncle. Like, we got to, at the Collie, at the Bone, we got to do a lot better. I will hope we can do what they did to us at the Collie.
But you're not going
to
do that.
No,
that's the only
way.
There's no way.
That's not who we are.
Listen,
no.
That's the only thing I can hope for. I didn't say it was going to happen. But as an Islanders fan now, I can only hope for that because that's the only way I'm going to feel comfortable going back to Tampa.
You're not going to feel comfortable.
We got destroyed last night.
No, Lonnie, thanks for the question.
Yeah, but even if you win, but Lonnie, I will say a couple things, Lonnie. I mean, you're live tweeting during the game and everything else. I mean, nephew Lonnie for me is as good as it gets. I mean, he's fully on board with this Islanders thing. Even if you win game 6, you're still going to be concerned.
Comfortable.
No, you're not going to be comfortable going back to Tampa in game 7.
And you're not winning 8-0. Go win game 6 however you can, and then go to Tampa and pray to God that you are close late stages and have a chance to win it. Yeah, you know what I love about Lonnie? He became an Islanders fan like 12 minutes ago. And now his voice, he's like, oh, Uncle Rico,
he's fully invested,
awful.
Man.
No, I give him credit for that.
Like, I mean, he's driving the bus right now. He's pulling everyone in for this. I give him credit.
I feel
he's staying up. He's watching. He's up every morning.
I feel like what you've done is you've really made it so that everyone feels comfortable joining the Islanders bandwagon and jumping on.
I've done what I came to done.
Yeah. You have.
What made it this for you, and I can imagine you probably had a smile on your face, is that you call for a 6-0 win, and you even did, when we did Rule 76, you said, let's go Lightning like a bad guy because I can't respond. And then not only do you get what you want, but you get it in two periods so you can shut it off and go to sleep. You got your 6-0 after two, and you're like, okay.
And you know what? And I didn't. That's how
you stayed up and watched it?
Yeah, I was flipping between that and then the Mets and then the Dodgers, Padres a little bit. And then finally, I was like, all right, I got to shut this thing down. Because the thing, you look ahead at the week. You got the baseball tonight, then tomorrow, and an NBA game tonight. Then tomorrow night, you get game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you got game six. And then, it's never a light night. So on the nights that there's blowouts, you really need to shut it down and conserve some sleep for later in the week. But I'm not very good at that.
No, there was no chance that was happening. That was so disgusted.
Did you sleep at all?
No. I actually almost missed the show, if I'm being completely honest.
How so?
Because I woke up like I always wake up, and then I was like, okay, I got to go through a couple more of these highlights before the show starts. So I actually made the mistake of laying down in the bed.
Oh, that's
down.
Dangerous. That's dangerous. You can't do that. That is dangerous.
And I popped up, and it was like 4:45. I was like, oh, no.
You do realize at some point, one of the three of us will oversleep and miss a portion of the show. At some point, that will happen.
No, Dave, I'm not going to. I reject that, Dave. I'm not going to accept that. We're professionals.
That happens is if I wake up and then somehow manage to like accidentally fall asleep before the show. Like I got too many alarms set to sleep.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
All right.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I got three different phone alarms.
At some point, I got the double alarm. I got the dogs as the backup just in case, right? Ready to yip their faces off. But at some point, one of the three of us, all of a sudden, you'll roll over and you'll see, and it'll be like 5:04. You're like,
Dave, why would you even put that out there in the universe?
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, why would you even speak that? Like, we're not there. I don't understand why you would even try to push something like that.
I'm not sure.
Just being a bad guy.
You know what would have been really nice, though, is back in the day when I offered to have my dad's house, because he was moving, turned into a beautiful studio.
Mm.
We could use something like that these days.
That would be nice.
Oh, yeah. Have TVs, everything DVR'd. You come down. You know what I mean? Like when Santiago needs, so you got actually a bed to sleep in, nice kitchen, make yourself some breakfast. Oh, it would be perfect.
Kind of like what Dan Patrick has going.
That's exactly what I proposed, the exact same thing. Exactly the same thing. And they're like,
RJ could lead his double life in this new studio.
Yeah. And Bartolo Colon could maybe swing by with a second family.
That's right.
Whatever you want.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Here from Scotty in Bergenfield. This should be a really good call. Go ahead, Scott. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going? Hey, I'm watching that game last night, the Islander game, and Rick, you know as well as I know that it's over. You're not coming back from that. I look at the Islanders as a team that's so well coached that talent just took over yesterday. I don't think they're close to be even close as talented as Tampa, and I think the series has just come to an end. Now, I'm a huge Ranger fan, and this is a hope. It's not a guarantee, but how do you come back from this? How could you come back? What goal do you put in? What do you do?
You're going back to Varlamov. That's why you pulled him. You're going back to Varlamov, and that's what you're doing. I think it's easy. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you're going to see their best effort at Game 6. Who knows what happens? But I would rather lose that way than – I think it's easier to get to flush that performance than it would have been, down to the wire, overtime, close loss, or anything like that. That was the most uncharacter – I mean, that was as bad as that team could play.
That was shocking.
I mean, Dave, they gave up. I mean, it was 8 or 9 odd man rushes in the first period.
The game was over. 10 minutes into the game, you're like, this game, they're not coming back and winning this game. You could tell. They never had a chance in that game. I don't remember the last time I watched an Islanders game and thought to myself, they're not even competitive in a game.
No, and I don't think anyone argued that the Islanders were as skilled as Tampa.
No.
Nobody would argue that. No one said that. I mean, that's what makes Tampa so scary is they can, and you kind of got a glimpse of that in game four, actually, in the third period. Like how quickly things can turn because of how much skill they have.
They can turn it quickly. Let's hear from Barry Trotz quickly before we move on to the Mets. What do you say to the team, Coach?
This wasn't our best game. We're going to need our best game, and we're going to have to earn the right to keep playing now. And I've been with this group a long time, and I know the character of this group, and we'll be ready.
also says they should need no motivation heading into game six.
No, I just think the game, this result, how we played, if that doesn't motivate us, then I'm not too sure what will. There's nothing I can say that will motivate them. I think it's you got a man. We just got a man up. Understand there, you know, all the things that we need to do, and this group does. And you know, like I said, we have to leave our best game out there now, because obviously tonight wasn't our best game, and you know, we put ourselves in a real tough bind.
Now you've had Lula Amarillo come and talk to your team. If they reached out to you and said, we'd like you to return the favor now heading into an all-important game six and address the team, is that something that you would be willing to do?
I would do whatever it took. Yeah. I mean, if they needed me to dress up as Sparky and then just rip the head off and whatever. I mean, I dressed up as Braveheart reading the starting lineups one time. Had my stick, you know, shaved into a sword, had the blue face paint on. I'm not afraid to do anything.
I would pay good money to see that, though.
Yeah, but the worst part of that, though, Canty.
You're willing to do anything, aren't you?
Dave, the night before the game, I went to the mall to get the blue face paint, and then I had the video guy cut clips from Braveheart, so I shut the lights off. Braveheart turned on the screen, and then I come running out with the blue paint with the sword. I did the whole spiel. I threw it. Starting lineups, boys were fired up.
Had that turn out, by the way?
Nah, not very good.
What was the final score of the game?
I don't remember the final score. All I remember is that I had my stuff. Like, I had just my bottom half on because I was dressed up as Braveheart. So, like, I was, and I don't sit on the bench in L.A. I'm kind of, like, behind the bench in the, like, tunnel area. So I'm, like, trying to get my stuff, you know, back on to get out to the bench. And before you know it, was like, first goal, second goal. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to get put in this game. So I'm, like, in the sink trying to wash the blue paint off my face in case I get thrown in the net. So I came running out, and I still had blue paint on my face. Luckily, wow. Luckily we settled the ship a little bit. Otherwise...
What an absolute treat.
Wow.
It would have been ugly.
Disaster.
Now, we had one time, we had a couple trainers that would come in to do it. Like they got real creative, and guys loved it. Like, they would come in, and, you know, one trainer would rip the other trainer's shirt off, or, like, give him the Ric Flair slap across the chest with the woo. And then one time they took it too far, where he was like, I guess he wanted to, like, he brought in a cold tub, like a small cold tub kind of situation with ice, and he was going to, like, dump himself into the cold tub, and the other trainer was going to hold his legs, but something went awry, like the guy's hands were slippery or something, and the trainer almost, like, he went headfirst into it and almost, like, almost paralyzed himself.
Almost broke his neck?
Yes, in the middle of the locker room.
That wouldn't have gone over well.
Not at all.
They had to, like, carry him out. Gets crazy, Dave.
Well, oh, man. Sounds wild and crazy in that Islanders locker room. All right, so... Jacob DeGrom, and I agree with you. We got to get back into this. And I also want to get into, you know, how they're checking the pitchers now. But, you know, I feel so uneasy, and I don't know if you feel like this, Rick. Every time he's on the mound and every pitch and every shake of the elbow and every visit to the mound, I am so uncomfortable. He's phenomenal, and I love watching him pitch. But, God, I am so on edge when it comes to Jacob DeGrom right now.
Well, I think the at-bat that Chris brought up when he walked the pitcher was the one where I was kind of like, oh, this doesn't look good. Because, I mean, he has him 0-2, and then he goes slider, slider, slider. And they weren't good-looking sliders at all. And he's kind of doing the thing where he's like, kind of like, you know, pulling his shoulders back, kind of shaking his arm.
Yeah.
And then he goes back. And then, I mean, he follows one off. Then he goes back to the slider again. And, I mean, the way he explained it after the game was like he was just in that moment because it was the pitcher trying to work on his slider, which I guess when you're as good as Jacob DeGrom, you can just – you know what? If I lose him, I lose him. I'll go up against one of the best young hitters
and strike him out.
And
in baseball.
I'll get a Cunha. Yeah, sure.
And not sweat it. But I don't – here's the thing I think that would concern me the most is – and I think when you listen to Luis Rojas after the game too, is they don't like – they've done a bunch of different MRIs, and there's nothing that they can see on the MRIs. So they're kind of just going on what they see from Jacob DeGrom and what he's telling them. Because otherwise they don't know what's going – like they obviously don't know what's going on. Is it because he's – you know, his velocity is crazy – and he throws, you know, 100-mile-an-hour fastballs more than anyone in professional baseball. Is that why he's wearing down? Or is it, you know, he feels something that is, you know, maybe nothing, but, you know, because he realizes what's at stake is that he would rather be cautious and he's kind of pulling himself out of these games. I don't think they really know.
Doesn't and I guess like that's the
scary
idea.
But I feel like that's the scary part, though, Rico, because they don't know what's going on. They can't pinpoint anything. They can't develop a plan. that gives them, you know, assurance that they're doing everything that they can to keep Jacob DeGrom healthy and available and producing at a high level. Like, that's the thing that bothers me the most. It's kind of like they're leaving Jacob DeGrom up to his own devices. And that typically hasn't worked out well when the Mets organization lets their players kind of dictate how these things go. I mean, you're running a huge risk with the most valuable asset in baseball, clearly the best player in the National League. I don't understand why you would take that chance. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now, especially when you look at the standings in your division. Like, you have enough cushion to be able to shut Jacob DeGrom down for a couple of starts and just kind of let that shoulder quiet down. I don't know why they're not taking advantage of that opportunity.
I think, in honest to God, I don't know if this is the case or not, but listening to, you know, some of the post-game stuff, it's kind of like, oh, so what's the plan? Well, the plan is, you know, we're going to keep an eye on him, and then, you know, he'll tell us how he feels.
And, what kind of plan is that?
I don't know if they have a plan, because they don't know. Like, it doesn't look like there's anything wrong to them. Like, they've done all the tests and everything else, and they're kind of just going by what he's telling them. And I think he also realizes, with how dominant he's been, it's like, you know, of course he still wants to keep pitching, because he's in the process of having maybe the greatest season we've ever seen from a pitcher. So it's like,
he can,
you
know, still go out there and be dominant, even though we know something's going on with him.
He hasn't allowed a run in 30 innings.
No. Yeah, 30 innings.
Yeah, I understand that, Dave. But we also know that there's something off when Jacob DeGrom is only pitching 5 innings.
Yeah, and 70 pitches.
That's my point. Like, we also know that there's something going on. And if he's looking at them and saying, you know, maybe that's enough, and they say, okay, that's enough, there's something there. It's not nothing. And I hate to use a double negative, but that's the reality of it. And when you're watching it, even though he's masterful in what he's doing, like, it's just, he's on a different level than everybody else, you still know that he's not quite right. And that's the part that worries me, because eventually you feel like that's going to catch up to him. And then where are you going to be if you're the Mets, if you don't have Jacob DeGrom at a critical point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, and by critical point, you mean the postseason, because that's when
you need him, and that's when you need to ramp him up. And that's
what you're
going to
need all three of those guys,
pitches.
Dave. I mean, the reality is you're going to need all three of those guys. I mean, DeGrom, Stroman, and Walker are so important to this team. Lucchese, it looks like he's done for the season.
He's done for the year, looks like, yeah.
We don't know when Carrasco is going to be back. I mean, he tore his hamstring, so who knows when he comes back. Syndergaard had a setback with his rehab. And then, I mean, look at your bullpen now. Familia's got a hip impingement. They hope to get him back. I mean, he's going on the IL.
Gesellman's
we don't know.
Miss time.
Gesellman's, he tore his lat, dude. I mean, who knows when he's going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, man. Like, it won't stop. Like, just when you get good news that McNeil's back, Conforto's on his rehab assignment, all of a sudden you start losing your bullpen.
Feels a lot like the season the Yankees had a couple of years ago, right, when they were losing everybody. They had, I think, over 30 individual IL stints.
And it's amazing how good the starting pitching has been. I mean, even, and we mentioned it early in the show, even Eichhoff, who goes out there in the first inning and struggles and walks guys and bases loaded, one out, and gets out of it. Even in the second game last night, I know it's only 7 innings, but you only allowed the one home run by Acuna. Now, you can't score, which is disheartening, but, I mean, their pitching has just been so phenomenal all season long up to this point.
It's been the strength of their team, and their bullpen's been good
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at these numbers, and I don't know if they're true or not because RJ wrote them down, but, I mean, this is...
Wow!
Well,
they haven't scored a lot of runs.
He's not wrong.
Goodness.
They haven't scored a lot of runs. I mean, look at it. I mean, the only team that they've scored more runs than, you know, right now at this moment, if RJ's right, and who knows if he's right, is Pittsburgh. I mean, they're one run ahead of Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Which is remarkable.
But and yet Pittsburgh they lead the NL East.
They don't have Stroman, they don't have Walker, and they're not playing great baseball like the Mets are. So... Last night, yesterday, they instituted the checking of the pitchers for the foreign substances. It's very strange, isn't it? Like, did you see Yu Darvish last night? They checked on him, and they look him up and down, and they finish, and he's like, okay, thank you very much. I mean, the whole thing, it's very, very strange the way they check these pitchers after innings now.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's like a perp walk.
So, okay, that's exactly what it is.
I mean, you got to do it in so everyone can see too. Like, we're going to let everyone watch. Oh, let's see the hat. Let's see the glove. Okay, now take off. You know, it's like being at TSA.
It's exactly what it is.
But you know what, though, Rick? You hate that it had to come to this, but the pitchers brought this on themselves because they abused it. Like, everybody knew that this was something that was going on with baseball. And I guess the combination of the pitchers, you know, allowing this thing to kind of get out of hand and then Major League Baseball actually changing what the baseball is this upcoming this season. It just led to, you know, the struggles on the offensive end, and it hurt the entertainment value of the sport. So now this is what Major League Baseball deems necessary in order to try to course correct. And it's unfortunate. It sucks for the pitchers, but that's what baseball had to, they had to do something. They couldn't just sit back and do nothing.
Yeah, but it was something that should have been done either. Like, and I watched some of Dave's Untucked podcast, and I actually thought you made a great point, Dave.
I think at this moment, what time are we? 5:49 on the Tuesday. This is the first time you've said anything nice about the podcast.
And welcome aboard.
No, I'm aboard. Why not take baby steps, right? Like, why not, and then use that as an opportunity to figure out what at some point you're going to allow pitchers to use? Because they're going to have to be, I mean, this CBA is up. Like, this is going to have to be something that they come to an agreement on. Like, to put this all on the pitchers midway through a season and have
right.
them...
halfway through to completely change the game? It's strange.
And but it wasn't like, I mean, this isn't all of a sudden like they just found spider tech this season. Like, this wasn't, oh, hey, guys, guess what we should use? The stuff that they use in strongman competitions. This will help. They've been using it.
Yeah.
The only thing that's changed is the baseball.
Yeah.
And who changed that?
Major League Baseball. How about the fact that you're not allowed to use sunscreen?
No, nothing.
But I mean, have you ever gone to a baseball game in the middle of the summer when it's 90 degrees and the sun is baking down on you?
Yeah, you have to wear sunscreen or a swim shirt. Yeah, you're right.
Right, right.
But, here's the thing, though.
The players in swim shirts anytime soon.
Oh, it's an SUV protected shirt.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. The reason why the pitchers have gone from the sunscreen in rosin, which was for grip and control of the baseball, to now, you know, a concoction of spider tack and whatever else they're using, is because of analytics. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is because the machines can tell you how the RPMs on your pitches. And when you see the higher I get my RPMs, how much more my, you know, my breaking stuff moves, how much more my fastball rides. It's like, okay, so now I can watch every single pitch and I can use a bunch of different things to tell me which stuff works the best. And then that's what they did. And now all of a sudden it's a problem because, you know, Major League Baseball decided that, you know, we're going to change the baseball again. Again, because when we changed it the first time, people weren't happy because the ball was too juiced and there were too many home runs. So now we'll try to curb that.
Right. Well,
and little did we realize,
coupled with all the crap they use on the ball, and no one will touch the thing this year.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though.
In the middle of a season, change things.
But Dave, they've done studies, and I'm sure the Players Association is doing that right now, I would hope, although I feel like Tony Clark should be fired because he's not good at his job, is that they've done studies with all the different substances, and the sunscreen and rosin does not have an effect on the spin rate.
Mm.
The research has been done. So why not just come to, like, if they actually had a decent relationship, like, why not just say, okay, this is what we're doing. It's going to be sunscreen and rosin, and that's it. You get caught with anything else, then... But they don't... Again, I get it because they don't want any gray area because guys will abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to do this midway through the season...
Yeah, it's really... It's
but
very
they could,
strange.
But, Rico, I understand what you're saying, and I don't necessarily like it either. But, I mean, you think that Major League Baseball should have continued throughout the rest of the season with things going the way they were offensively? Because that's not good for the game either. That's not good for either side.
No, I don't think it's good for the game, but it's of their own doing, which aggravates me. Like, they always do it to themselves. And then the players are the ones that end up paying the price for it.
Yeah, there's no disagreement with that. I would completely concur. Like, Major League Baseball, it's kind of like they have knee-jerk reactions, and they kind of throw things together. They throw things out there, and they see how it works out. And if it doesn't work out, they want to blame the players. In reality,
and it's usually their best players.
Yeah, exactly. The reality is they created this problem because of them changing the baseball. It's not like they didn't know that players were using spider tack or grip enhancers. They knew pitchers were doing that. But rather than trying to get ahead of it, experimenting with that in the offseason, they decided, well, we don't like what we're seeing through the first third of the year, and so we're going to change it midstream. It does put a lot of the onus on the players for a problem that they seemingly didn't create. But at the same time, I feel like their hands were tied. They had to do something based on how bad the product was.
Now, Jeff Passan was on SportsCenter, and he says pitchers have been scared straight with what's going on right now.
In between innings, you're going to have pitchers who are essentially being frisked. It's going to be like TSA. Mm. And the idea that they're going to catch guys with foreign substances on them, it's going to be interesting to see just how realistic that is, because honestly, I think guys have been scared straight already. Since June 3rd, when Major League Baseball let it out that this was going to be something they were going to be enforcing, this rule on the books that they already have, pitchers understood you have a very limited amount of time to get clean. And it's not like they can use anything, because any foreign substance at this point is going to lead to a 10-game suspension.
Yeah, but Andy, you know the other thing though too is if it was just with how important it is for, especially, you know, the fringe guys, like not the Garrett Coles or Jacob deGroms or the guys that have already been paid, but the guys that are trying to stick around or get to that money, if it was just a 10-game suspension, like you're going to miss 10 games, and it's with pay, by the way, like I'm just going to miss 10 games, like I would probably still do it. But now, I mean, the stigma of being a cheater now is, I think, part of the reason why these guys aren't going to do it. I think that the line was drawn in the sand. Like, whatever you did before, okay, we'll live with that. But now if you continue to do it, now you're a cheater.
Yes, I agree. But what happens to the, not the DeGrom and not the Cole and not the elite pitcher, but the fringe pitcher, the guy that maybe was holding on for dear life in Major League Baseball because he was doing this? Do you continue? Do you just stop and let it go?
I don't know. I don't think you can, just with how they're, I mean, they're going to catch you. I mean, if they're going to check you every, I mean, if you go out and pitch and then on your way off the mountain, they're going to check you. What's the incentive to do it?
I know what the incentive is. The incentive is that
you can stay in the show.
Baseball career. Yeah,
no, exactly. I know, but it's not. But it's not like you're going to get away with it for like a long period of time. Like you're going to. It's
right. At some point, you're going to get busted.
Yeah, I mean, especially as a starting pitcher, like you're going to get. I mean, you get checked after the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get checked a couple different times. Like, are you willing to roll the dice with that? I don't know if at this point.
So, do you think we're not going to have anybody get busted this year?
I don't think. I mean, there'll be some guy that does.
Yeah, somebody's going to get caught.
Same thing about steroids.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be stupid enough to take steroids. Or the guys that have already tested positive, like, you can't be dumb enough to do it again. And guys still do it again. I don't know early on if you're going to catch anyone, just because guys are, you know, you got everyone's attention right now. But you may see a guy at some point that's been struggling without using it, that decides, like, if I don't start using this stuff again,
it could be a problem.
Yeah, I'm going to get sent down, or it ain't going to be good for me.
They feel like they have no choice.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.